So I understand some new people are here and they're not familiar with the chanting, so we will first introduce the mantra.
我知道今天来的有一些新人，所以可能对曼陀罗不是特别熟悉，所以我们首先呢把这首曼陀罗介绍一下。
We're going to chant the Maha Mantra. There are many mantras, but there's only one Maha Mantra.
那么我们唱诵的叫 Maha Mantra， 曼陀罗是非常多的，但是伟大的曼陀罗 Maha Mantra 却只有一首。
So it's made up of three words, Hare, Krishna, and Rama.
一共是由三个词组成的 ，Hare, Krishna, Rama.
Hare means the spiritual energy.
Hare 的意思就是灵性的能量。
Krishna means the all-attractive.
Krishna 的意思是最具有吸引力者。
And Rama is the reservoir of pleasure.
Rama 的意思就是快乐的源泉。
So by chanting the mantra, the Maha Mantra, it acts just like a medicine.
那么当你唱诵 Maha Mantra 伟大的曼陀罗的时候，它就好像是药一样。
Or even you can say sometimes, you know, sometimes a mantra is also a medicine.
那么一首曼陀罗有的时候它也是像治疗的药一样。
You may be bitten by a snake.
你可能被一条蛇咬了。
In India, we have a holy place on the bank of the river Ganges.
那么在印度呢，在恒河的岸边有一些圣地。
And sometimes poisonous snakes come and people are bitten.
有的时候毒蛇会把人给咬了。
To overcome the effect of the poison, a local person, a local inhabitant will recite a mantra.
那么这个当地的人他就会去念诵一首曼陀罗来中和这个毒蛇咬到之后的这种药力。
Mantra means a sound vibration.
Mantra 的意思是音振。
Man actually, in Sanskrit, the word mantra is a Sanskrit word. Man means the mind and tra means to free.
那 mantra 实际上是一个梵文。Man 的意思是心意，而 tra 的意思是释放。
So sometimes the effect of poisonous snake bite will put a person into sleep, a deep sleep.
那么有的时候人被蛇咬了之后就会陷于一种昏迷状态。
And to revive the consciousness, the mantra has to be recited.
如果一个人要重新恢复知觉的话，他就必须去唱诵这首曼陀罗。
So in the same way,material world, we're all in a sleeping condition.
所以呢，在这个物质世界，同样的，我们也好像在睡眠的状态。
Our consciousness has been covered by this material atmosphere.
我们的知觉已经被完全覆盖了，被这种物质的气氛所覆盖。
We've forgotten our real identity.
我们忘记了我们真实的身份。
But the mantra, the sound vibration of the mantra can revive our original consciousness.
但是呢，这首曼陀罗它却可以重新的恢复我们原本的知觉。
The process of mantra meditation is based on two activities, hearing and chant.
那么曼陀罗的冥想它是基于两种活动，一种被称为唱，一种被称为唱诵，一种被称为聆听。
You don't need to use your mind.
你不需要运用你的心意。
You just simply have to hear and chant.
你不需要用思想，你只需要去聆听和唱诵就可以。
We use our ears to hear, our tongue to chant.
那用我们的耳朵去聆听，用我们的舌头去唱诵。
And by chanting this mantra, you will see how our consciousness can be purified.
那么当我们唱诵这首曼陀罗之后，你就会发现我们的知觉，我们的意识得到了净化。
Not only your mind and intelligence will be purified, but the whole room will be surcharged with spiritual energy.
那不仅仅是你的心意和你的智慧得到了净化，整个屋子都完全的充满了这种灵性的能量。
And we're going to change matter into spirit.
我们可以把物质转化成灵性的。
Are you ready to see?
你们准备看一看吗？
Yeah? 你们准备好了吗？
好。
Okay, so we're going to chant the mantra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You can repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama. Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Now, if you like, you can close your eyes and you can think you're in some holy place on the bank of a holy river.
那如果你愿意的话, 你可以闭上眼睛, 想象你在圣河的边上, 在一个圣地。
You can keep your eyes open if you want, and you can simply see that you're in this room, some yoga studio here in Beijing.
当然如果你睁开眼睛, 那你也可以看到, 你就在北京的一个瑜伽中心里。
But actually, the sound vibration of the mantra comes from very far away.
但是呢, 实际上这首曼陀罗的音阵是来自于遥远的地方。
It comes from a place called Goloka.
它是来自一个被称为Goloka的地方。
Goloka is in another world, beyond this world of time and space.
那么Goloka它是超越于这个时间和空间的一个地方。
And when you chant that holy name, it actually, this holy name, that name, this mantra, this descends from that place.
那么当你去唱诵的时候，实际上你就是和这首从上降临到这里的这首曼陀罗在一起了。Just
like when you take a powerful medicine.
这好像是你服用了一种非常具有药力的药。You
can feel immediately the effect of the medicine working against the disease.
你很快就可以感觉到这种药力在征服你身上的疾病。So
when you chant this mantra with proper care and attention, you'll feel the effect, you'll feel the potency.
所以当你非常专心致志地去唱诵这首曼陀罗的时候, 你就可以真切地感觉到曼陀罗带给你的药力。
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
you for chanting with me.
非常感谢能和我一起唱诵。
Now we're going to speak something of the yoga knowledge.
那现在我们想介绍一下有关瑜伽的知识。
This will be based on Bhagavad Gita.
我们讲述的基础是国家梵歌。
这是什么书？
国家梵歌的原
文。这个是日本的书。
I'm not sure. I've never seen
it. I'm not sure. Everyone knows this book, Bhagavad Gita.
有多少人知道《国家梵歌》这本书？
Yes. Very good. Here's the book. So this book, Bhagavad Gita, is not just simply 5,000 years old, but it's eternal knowledge.
那这部《国家梵歌》不仅仅是五千年之前讲述的，事实上它是永恒的知识。
It was spoken millions of years ago on another planet to the sun god.
那么在几百万年之前，在其他的星球对太阳神曾经讲过。
And most recently, it was spoken 5,000 years ago.
啊，那么最近呢，是在五千年之前讲述的。
What is this book about?
那么这部书它所讲述的是什么内容呢？
First of all, it's about us, who we are.
首先是有关自我的知识。究竟我们是谁？我是谁？
你们都听到他的声音吗？没问题。
可以。
So we have to the first thing is to understand who am I.
首先，我们首要了解的第一个问题是我是谁。
The identity crisis is something which affects all of us.
那么对于这个身份的这个标准的认证，实际上对于我们每一个人来说都具有非常大的影响。
Because we are influenced by thinking of ourselves in different ways, it affects our mind, it affects our whole existence.
因为我们对自我的这种了解会影响到我们的心意，会影响到我们的行动等等。
I remember once I was in India.
我记得有一次我在印度。
I met one man. He told me his son committed suicide.
有一次有一个人跟我说，说他的儿子自杀了。
I said, why did your son do that?
然后我就问他说，为什么你的儿子会自杀呢？
He said, my son said I didn't have enough money for him.
他说，他的儿子说，那个他没有得到足够的钱。
He thought,I'm born in a poor family. Life is not worth living.
那他的儿子认为他出生在一个一贫如洗的家庭中，所以呢，活下去也没有什么意义了。
This is the bodily consciousness of life.
这是关于生命的一种躯体化的概念。
Someone is thinking I'm rich. Another person is thinking I'm poor.
有的人认为我很富裕，另外一个人认为自己非常贫穷。
And it expands in many different ways. Someone thinks I'm healthy, another person thinks I'm sick.
那么这个想法还可以扩展下去。有的人会认为自己非常健康，有的人会觉得自己非常的体弱多病。
I met a young person just the other day, and they were suffering so much. They were so disturbed because they got some disease.
那么有一天我遇到了一个年轻人，他非常的痛苦。因为她得了一种病。
When the doctor told her she had this disease, and she felt very bad.
当医生跟她说你得了这种病的时候，她感觉非常的痛苦不堪。
And that doesn't help us to cure, to overcome the disease.
但是呢，这种情绪也不会帮助我们来治愈这种疾病。
Yoga teaches us to overcome the bodily consciousness of life.
那么瑜伽它就是教给我们如何去战胜关于生命的一种躯体化概念。
Of course, we have the body, and we do have to take care of this body.
当然，我们有这个躯体，我们是应当悉心的照顾的。
We're doing yoga; it helps the body.
我们在做一些瑜伽，那么这对我们的身体是有好处的。
Because we have to live in this body.
因为我们必须在这个躯体中生活。
Just like.We've entered into this room.
就好像我们走进了这个屋子。
But we don't become the room.
但是我们却不会变成这个房间。
We'll come into this room, and after some time, we'll leave this room.
我们走进了这个房间，过了一阵子，我们就会离开这个房间。
In the same way, the living force, the eternal soul, has entered into this body.
那么同样的，不朽永恒的生命灵，也就是灵魂，它进入了我们这个躯体。
And in course of time, that soul will leave the body.
那么过了一段时间之后，这个灵魂就会离开这个躯体。
The body is simply a vehicle which we're living in.
那实际上躯体对于我们来说，它只是一个交通工具而已。
One of my friends who is a prominent yoga teacher in India, he also suffered some bad health recently.
那么我有一位在印度的一位非常著名的瑜伽老师，这样的一位朋友，他呢最近也得了一种病，非常痛苦。
His students were very upset. They were lamenting that our teacher's sick, he may die.
那么他的学生们呢都非常的痛苦，认为他们的老师患了严重的疾病，可能就会死亡。
But the teacher told them, said, why are you lamenting?
但是呢这个老师就对他的学生说，为什么你们要如此痛苦呢？
He said, if you have a car and you trade it in and get a new car, are you going to lament about it?
他说如果你有了 一辆车，但是你把这个车卖了换了一辆新车，难道你会为这辆旧车而感到痛苦吗？
So many cars are on the road now in Beijing.
那么北京现在街道上挤满了各种各样的车。
Yeah, maybe some of you also have a car.
可能你们在座的也有一些人有车。
So if you have an old car and you get a new car, are you going to lament, oh my old car?
如果你原来有一辆旧车，然后呢你把它卖了，又马上得到了一辆新车，难道你会为你的旧车感到非常的伤心痛苦吗？
No, we're happy. Come and see my new car. Come for a ride in my new car.
我们会非常的高兴，我们会兴高采烈的来看我们的新车，为此庆祝。
So, in the same way, if we give up the old diseased body, there's no reason to lament. You'll get a new body.
那么同样，如果我们放下了这个体弱多病的老的躯体，我们也不必为此感到痛苦，因为我们会得到一个新的躯体。
So yoga is training us to elevate our consciousness from the bodily platform of life.
所以呢，瑜伽就是为了帮助我们从这种物质的世俗的躯体化的知觉当中提升出来。
Instead of just simply thinking, I am woman, I am man, I am young, I am old, you will think, I am a soul living in a body.
我们不会想我是男人，我是女人，我是老人，我是年轻人。相反，我们会认为我们是居住在这个躯体中的灵魂。
This is the beginning of pure consciousness when we understand ourselves as a soul within the body.
那这就是纯粹知觉的开始，也就是我们理解到我们是居住在这个躯体中的灵魂。
Of course, we have to go on from that consciousness to higher things.
当然了，我们还要升华，我们要更超越于这样的知觉。
Yoga is also training us to control the senses.
另外呢，瑜伽还教给我们如何去控制我们的感官。
Why do we think we're this body? Why do we forget our pure consciousness?
为什么呢？我们老是记着我们的躯体，而忘记了我们纯粹的知觉呢？
This is described in Bhagavad Gita.
这就是在《博伽梵歌》中讲述的内容。
That we're controlled by the mind.
就是我们是被我们的心意所主宰控制的。
And the mind controls the senses.
而心意呢，又控制着我们的感官。
The example.A nice example is given to understand the relationship between the mind and the senses and the intelligence and the soul.
那关于我们的灵魂、感官、智性以及灵魂之间的关系，有一个很好的例子。
Just like you may be in a horse-driven chariot.
就好像你坐在一辆马车上。
So this body is just like a chariot.
那么我们的躯体就好像是这辆马车。
But not simply one horse, there are five horses.
但是呢，拉这辆车的马并不是只有一匹，有五匹马。
And these five horses represent the five senses.
而这五匹马呢，就代表了五个感官。
We know in this body the senses, the eyes, the nose, the ears, the tongue, the sense of touch.
那我们知道就是我们的眼睛、鼻子。 我们的耳朵、舌头，还有我们的触觉。
We have to learn to control the senses.
我们应当要学会如何去控制我们的感官。
It's not easy.
这不是一件容易的事情。
What is the most difficult sense to control?
那么最难以控制的感官是什么呢？
Can any of you guess?
大家能猜一下吗？
Seeing, yeah, the mind is there. But after the mind, the five senses. Which of the five senses?
是我们刚才所说的五种感官中的某一种，哪一种是最难以控制的呢？
Eyes. There's something more difficult.
还有比眼睛更难控制。
You know, the eyes. This eyes are quite good because we can simply close the eyes.
要控制眼睛很容易，你只要把眼睛闭上就可以。
Nose, well,
眼睛、鼻子、耳朵、舌头和触觉。
The Shastra, the script, the Bhagavad Gita tells us the most difficult sense is tongue.
经典呢，博伽梵歌告诉我们说，最难以控制的就是我们的舌头。
I know you young ladies like to talk a lot.
我知道你们这些年轻的女子，你们都喜欢讲话。
Right? Tonight you have to listen.
今天晚上你们却要聆听了。
Maybe it's difficult.
可能对你们来说比较难。
Controlling the tongue. The tongue is active in two things, speaking and tasting.
所以呢，这个舌头它是有两个功能，一个是说话，还有一个就是品尝食物。
In Bhagavad Gita, it is described a yogi does not eat too much, does not eat too little.
那在博伽梵歌里面说到，一位非常清净的瑜伽师，他不会吃得太多，也不会吃得太少。
If you eat too much, you get diabetes.
啊，如果你吃得太多，你可能就会得糖尿病。
Eat too little, you get tuberculosis, TB.
那么如果你吃得太少的话 ，TB。Really?
Yeah, if you eat too little, the body is not nourished properly, you're subject to different germs,
okay.
You cannot overcome.
如果你吃的太少的话，因为你的身体的这种得不到足够的滋养，所以呢，你可能就会无法去抵御一些病菌，比如说像肺结核这样的疾病。
So,The tongue is very difficult to control.
所以呢，这个舌头是非常难以控制的。
Sometimes we will say things also which are not very pleasant to others.
有的时候呢，我们也会对别人恶语相向。
That is an austerity in speech.
那么这也是，就是说从语言的角度来说，也是需要苦行和控制的。
We should speak words which are truthful and at the same time pleasing to others.
我们应当说真话，同时呢，应当说悦耳的话。
Sometimes we learn to be very expert in insulting others.
有的时候呢，我们非常善于侮辱别人。
Are any of you expert?
是不是你们有一些侮辱别人的专家呢？
We hope not. Anyway, we want to overcome this tendency. That tendency is there. We have to overcome that.
那这种倾向总是存在的，所以我们要做的就是去克服这种倾向。
That is why controlling the tongue is so difficult.
这就是为什么控制舌头是非常困难的。
Some of you may have difficulty trying to avoid foods like meat, fish, and eggs.
有的人可能就是在座的，可能也会觉得就是避免吃肉啊、鱼啊、蛋什么的会比较困难。
Actually, in yoga practice, we should eat pure foods. Foods which are in pure foods, we cannot eat animal foods. They're not pure.
实际上呢，对于一个瑜伽修习者来说，应当去品尝净化的食物，而不应该去吃那些肉食，因为肉食是不净化的，是受过污染的。
Then, even if you're a vegetarian, you may think.You eat too much, or you eat too little.
那如果你成了素食者，可能你也会吃得太多，或者吃得太少。
You have to have the right balance.
你必须要有一种很好的平衡。
Controlling the senses is important for us. When the senses are controlled, we can be more peaceful in the mind.
那么对于我们来说，要控制感官是非常重要的，因为当你控制了感官的时候，你的心意思想就会得到平静。
So these senses, the five senses, are like horses pulling this chariot.
那么所以呢，这五个感官就相当于是五匹马一样，啊。
How are the horses?
驾着这辆车。
How are the horses controlled? There's some rope going through the mouth. The reins are held by the driver.
啊，那么如何才能控制这五匹马呢？它就有这个缰绳被这个马车夫所控制在手。
So those reins are like the mind.
所以呢，我们的缰绳就相当于我们的心意。
You all know, you all immediately said the mind is very difficult.
你们一开始就说了，要控制心是非常难的。
That is also explained in 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
那么在《博迦梵歌》的第六章当中也提到了这一点。
The mind can be the friend and the enemy.
心意可以成为我们的朋友，也同时可以成为我们的敌人。
Just like a knife, it can be used by the doctor to heal.
那么就好像是一把刀一样，医生可以拿它来给病人治病。
But the same knife can be used by a criminal to kill someone.
但是同样的一把刀却可以被罪犯用来杀人。
The mind can elevate us, the mind can degrade us.
所以呢，这个心意既可以让我们得到提升，也可以让我们堕落。
We also have to control the mind.
所以呢，我们必须要控制我们的心意。
So the mind is like the reins on the chariot, and there has to be a good driver to hold the reins.
那么心意呢，就好像是这辆马车上的缰绳一样，同时呢，我们必须要有一位非常出色的马车夫来控制我们的缰绳。
That is the intelligence.
这就是我们的智慧。
We have to have strong intelligence to control the mind, and then the mind will control the senses.
那么我们必须要有非常好的智性或者说智慧，这样才能够通过心意的缰绳来控制我们的感官。
We said the intelligence is the driver, and the soul is there standing next to the driver. That is the passenger on the chair.
那我们就是说，我们的智慧就相当于这个马车夫一样。那么我们的灵魂就是坐在马车夫旁边的乘客。
The chariot itself, this body.
那么这辆车呢，就相当于我们的躯体。
The soul is seated next to the intelligence.
那么灵魂呢，就坐在智性的边上。
So this intelligence, where do we get this intelligence? It comes from the soul.
那么我们的这种智性或者说智慧是从何而来呢？它是来自于我们的灵魂。
And it comes also by hearing spiritual knowledge.
另外呢，还有通过聆听灵性的知识就可以获得这样的智慧。
If you're open to reading books like Bhagavad Gita, then we can get good intelligence.
如果你能够打开像《博迦梵歌》这样的经典，你就可以获得非常好的智慧。
If you don't like reading books, you're not much interested in philosophy, then simply chant Maha Mantra.
那么如果你对于哲学、对于看书不是太有兴趣的话，那么你只要去唱诵这首 Maha Mantra, 曼陀罗就可以了。
The Maha Mantra itself is full of all spiritual knowledge.
那么 Maha Mantra 当中已经蕴含了所有的灵性的知识。
When you chant that Maha Mantra,then we will overcome, we'll take away all that maya, all the illusion, all the ignorance.
当我们去唱诵这首 Maha Mantra 的时候，你就可以扫尽一切的 maya, 也就是说错觉假象。
It's a process of purification.
以及愚昧，那么这就是一种净化的程序。
We have to get rid of the dirty things from the heart.
我们必须要除尽内心中的不洁。
Within the heart, there is lust, anger, greed.
在我们的内心当中有很多的愤怒、色欲，还有妒忌。
Illusion.
还有假象、幻觉。
Envy.
还有我们的妒忌、愤怒。
These things we want to get rid of. This.
这是我们必须要除尽的污染。
This is why we practice yoga.
这就是为什么我们要修习瑜伽。
A yogi has to have a steady mind.
一位瑜伽师必须要有非常稳定的心意。
Just as if you're doing yoga, you have to practice regularly.
就好像是当你去学习瑜伽的时候，你必须是非常有规律的、非常 稳定的。
When you practice regularly, then your mind becomes fixed into that routine.
那么当你非常有规律的去修习这种瑜伽的时候，其实你的心就会专注在这种日常的规范之上。
And this routine is helping us to purify the all the dirty things in the heart.
那么这样已经形成规律的日常生活，就可以帮助我们净化我们的内心，去除一切的不洁。
So Bhagavad Gita is explaining about who we are. That first of all, we're not this body.
所以呢，《薄伽梵歌》它就解释了我们是谁。首先，我们不是这个躯体。
We are a soul living in this body.
我们是生活在这个躯体中的灵魂。
But within this body, there's not just one soul. There are two souls.
那么在这个躯体当中呢，不仅仅只有一个灵魂，有两个灵魂。
If you simply understand I am a soul, that is part of the realization.
那么如果你仅仅明白了我是灵魂，那仅仅是觉悟中的一部分，是片面的。
But it's not complete realization.
它并不是一种完全的觉悟。
Just like the story, and you have that story, famous story in China about the blind man massaging the elephant.
啊，那我们都知道盲人摸象的故事。
在
中国的典故
right, the man is at the side of the elephant and he said, it's like a wall.
那么站在这个大象身边的这个盲人摸起来就觉得大象是一堵墙。
Another man's got the leg of the elephant and said, no, it's like a tree.
另外一个人他抓住的是象腿，他就觉得大象是像一棵树一样。
Someone else has got the ear of the elephant. He said, "Oh, it's like a fan."
那另外一个人，他抓住的是大象的耳朵，所以觉得大象就是蒲扇。
Someone else has got the tail. He said, "No, it's like a brush."
那么另外一个人呢，他就抓住了这个象的尾巴，就觉得好像像浮尘一样，小象。
They're all right, but they're only describing part.
他们都是对的。但是呢，他们都只讲述了真理的一部分。
You have to put the parts together.
所以呢，你必须要把这个部分连接在一起，成为一个整体。
In the same way, if you simply know yourself as a soul, that is part of the realization.
所以呢，如果你仅仅知道你是灵魂的话，那仅仅是觉悟的一部分。
But you have to go on from that to understand that there's not simply one soul, but there are two souls.
而且呢，你必须要继续的明白一点，就是我不仅仅只有一个灵魂，还有两个灵魂。
One soul is the individual living entity, and he knows about our own individual happiness and distress.
那么另一个是我们自我的这个灵魂，那他就会了解我们自己感受到的苦与乐。
But there's another soul, what we call the super soul, and that is in the heart of all living entities.
那么另外一位呢，它被称为超灵，我们把它称为超灵，它在一切的生物体心中。
That super soul knows about the happiness and distress in each and every living entity.
那么这一位超灵呢，它就可以了解所有的众生他们的快乐和痛苦。
These two souls are just like two birds sitting in a tree.
这两个灵魂就像是一棵树上的两只鸟一样。
One bird is eating the fruit.
一只鸟呢，在品尝树上的果实。
Sometimes the fruit is sweet, sometimes the fruit is bitter.
有的时候呢，这个果实是非常甜的，有的时候是苦的。
Just as in the course of our work.Sometimes we have happiness, and other times we meet with distress.
就好像我们工作的时候，有的时候欣喜若狂，有的时候却感到痛苦不安。
Sometimes success, sometimes failure.
有的时候获得了成功，有的时候却是失败。
Sometimes honor, another time dishonor.
有的时候得到的是荣誉，有的时候呢却得到的是侮辱。
Just in this way, the bird is eating the fruit.Different tastes.
就好像这只在品尝树上的果实的鸟一样，只不过是味道不一样而已。
But the other bird is watching, not eating, just simply watching.
但是呢，另外一只鸟呢，它并没有在吃这个食物，它只是在那里观察，在观看。
That other bird is the witness.
那么另外一只鸟呢，它其实就是见证者。
In the same way, within each and every one of us, there are two souls, the individual soul and the super soul.
所以呢，在每一个生物体中都有两个灵魂，一个是个体的灵魂，另外一个是超灵。
Why is the other bird just simply watching, witnessing everything?
为什么另外一只鸟，它只是在那里呆着看着我们？为什么它不做任何的事情，只是观察着？
His position is like something like a judge in a court.
他的地位就好比是在法庭上的一位法官一样。
Sometimes you go in the court, sometimes the judge will punish someone, send them to jail or fine them.
那有的时候呢，你在法庭上你可以看到法官，他会惩罚一个被告，然后把他投到监狱去，或者是罚款等等。
But another time, the person goes in the court and the judge will give him money and say, yes, you have been harmed, you should be given compensation.
那么但是呢，有的时候你在法庭上会看到他法官会给他一些钱，说你呢受到了伤害，所以这是对你的弥补。
In the same way, we get different results from different activities.
所以呢，同样的，我们从事的不同的活动就会得到不同的结果。
The super soul is witnessing all of our activities.
那么这个超灵呢，它就是目睹着，见证着我们一切的活动。
When we give up this body, we go to another body.
当我们放弃了这个躯体的时候，我们就会获得另外一个躯体。
But we don't remember our past life.
但是我们已经不记得我们前生发生的一切了。
Just like in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains to Arjuna.
就好像在博迦梵歌的第四章 Krishna 对 Arjuna 解释说
Krishna was telling Arjuna that I spoke this Bhagavad Gita to the sun god millions of years ago.
那么 Krishna 就对 Arjuna 他说我在百万年之前就已经向太阳神讲述了这门知识。
But Arjuna said, how is it possible? He said, we're friends, we're the same age. How could you tell the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god? Sun god's much older than you.
那么 Arjuna 就感到非常的惊奇，他说你是我的朋友，我们看来年纪相若，为什么你会对太阳神来讲述这门知识呢？那太阳神肯定要比我们老多了。
But Krishna says, many, many births both you and I have had. I can remember them, but you cannot.
那么 Krishna 就是说无论是你还是我，我们都经历了生生世世，我能够记得所有的这一切，但是你却不记得。
Do you remember your previous lives?
你们记得你们的前世吗？
Neither do I.
我也记不得。
But we had previous lives.
但是我们的确有前生。
Sometimes we were demigods in heaven.
有的时候我们是天上的半神人。
Sometimes we were birds in trees.
有的时候我们是树上的一只鸟。
Sometimes we were dogs in the street.
有的时候我们是街上的一只狗。
Now we have this human body.
那现在我们就得到了这个人类的躯体。
This human body is special.
这个人类的形体是非常独特的。
It's a special opportunity to understand things which in other forms of life are not easily understood.
这是一个非常特殊的形体，在这个形体当中，我们可以理解到别的形体所不具备的了解知识的能力。
Animals are good at eating and sleeping, mating and defending.
那么动物它是非常擅长于吃啊、睡啊、交配啊以及防卫的。
Yeah, if we just want to eat, you know, the pigs eat better than us.
那么如果说说到吃的话，猪它比我们吃的开心多了。
The animals, they have the special bodies meant for these activities.
那么这个动物呢，它就是有可以满足刚才所说的这些活动的躯体。
Now it's winter, it's cold sometimes in Beijing. Maybe we should sleep all winter like the bear.
那么现在北京已经非常的寒冷了，也许我们应当像熊一样冬眠。
Yeah, the bear is very good. He can go to sleep and wake up when the summer comes.
那这个熊呢，它可以呼呼大睡，一直到夏天来临的时候。
We can sleep for the weekend, maybe.
但是呢，我们可能只能睡一个周末。
But we don't sleep much.
那我们不 无法睡得太多。
We're not meant, human body is not meant for just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending.
这个人类的形体它不是只是为了吃睡性交以及防卫的。
The human body is meant to inquire, to ask, who am I? Why am I here?
人类形体意味着我们应当要询问我是谁，为什么我来到了这里。
And what will happen when I die? Where will I go?
当我死亡之后，我将去往哪里？
So Krishna tells Arjuna that I remember my previous births, but you don't.
所以呢 ，Krishna 就对 Arjuna 他说，我记得我的前生，但是你却不记得。
And Krishna not only remembers his previous births.
而 Krishna 呢，不仅仅记得他自己本人的前生。
But he is the super soul, and he is in everyone's heart, and he remembers everyone's previous.
他是超灵，他居于众生的心中，所以他可以。记住每一个生物的前世。
And he carries us from one life to the next life.
是他把我们从一个生一生带到另外一世。
He knows our desires.
他知道我们的欲望是什么，
愿
望是什么。
He knows also our qualification.
而且他也知道我们的资格是什么。
According to our desire and qualification, we will take a body in the next life.
那么根据我们的愿望以及我们所具备的资格，我们就可以获得另外一个身体，下一世。
This is the law of reincarnation.
这就是轮回的原理。
Just as the air carries the smell from one object, if the air passes over a place where there's some rose flowers, the air will carry the smell of the roses.
就好像空气携带着芳香一样，好像携带着玫瑰花的芳香一样。
In the same way, if we have some particular desire, some thought within our mind, at the end of life, it carries us to the next life.
那同样的，当我们有了一些欲望，在我们的思想当中有一些思想的时候，当我们死亡之后，就会把这些思想和欲望带到另外一个身体，另外一世中。
I remember one time, one man Indian. This was in India. One Indian man came, and he was talking to my spiritual teacher, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and he was asking him, "I have a son." Who is mentally retarded? Why is my son like this?
那么，有一个印度人就是来见我的灵性导师 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. 然后他就询问说，那个我有一个儿子，他是就是弱智，为什么会发生这样的事情呢？
My spiritual master told him.
那么。我的灵性导师就对他说
He said, this one child who is your son now, in his previous life, he was a man who you owed money to.
他说这一生是你的儿子，但是在前一世呢，你欠了他钱。
You owed him, you'd taken a lot of money from him, and you never paid him back.
就说你拿了他很多的钱，但是你却没有归还给他。
When that man died, he was feeling very spiteful, very much hate to you that you'd taken his money and never repaid him.
那么当这个人死亡的时候呢，他非常的憎恨你，因为你欠了他的钱，从来都没有还他。
And the result is he came as your child in this form.
这个结果呢，就是他变成了你的儿子，以现在这个形体。
Just to give you pain.
这是为了给你痛苦。
This is an example of how material nature works.
这就是物质自然如何运作的一个例子。
We are all subject to these things.
我们也都受到这些事情的影响。
From Bhagavad Gita, by studying the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, we can learn how to live a proper life in good consciousness.
那么通过学习国家梵歌的知识，我们就知道如何以一种正确的知觉和意识去生活。
Four principles are very important.
有四个原则是非常重要的。
In India, the symbol of religion is the bull. 公牛。
那么在印度的话，牛就是
公牛，
公牛就是宗教原则，宗教原则的一个标志。
The bull stands on four legs.
那么这个牛呢，它是有四条腿。
One represents cleanliness.
啊，其中一个是洁净、清洁。
Cleanliness is destroyed by too much illicit connection with the opposite sex.
啊，那么如果你跟异性有很多不洁的关系的话，实际上就破坏了这个洁净的原则。
It causes a lot. Nothing causes more pain, gives us more trouble than that connection, than how we associate with the opposite sex.
啊，当我们和异性在一起的时候，实际上给我们带来的是最多的痛苦，有时。
So it's not that yoga prohibits us from getting married and having families. That is all right. That's good.
但是呢，并不是说瑜伽要禁止我们去成立家庭。进入婚姻，这个婚姻也是非常好的。
But it is the scriptures, yoga teachers teach against the illicit connection, exploiting each other.
但是呢，瑜伽中的教义告诉我们，就是不应当去和这个非法的这种性生活。
Connecting with each other simply for the material, for the pleasure of the body.
啊，就是说不要仅仅是为了这个躯体的享乐。而和异性接触。
This is degrading on our consciousness.
这个呢会使我们的知觉或者意识堕落。
And ultimately, it will simply end in misery.
那么最终来说的话，你一定是会以痛苦告终的。
So one leg is cleanliness.
所以呢，这几个公牛的一条腿就被称为洁净。
Another leg represents mercy.
那么另外一条腿呢，就代表的是仁慈。
Mercy.Mercy is destroyed when we eat animal flesh.
当我们吃这个动物的肉的时候，实际上我们就破坏了慈悲的原则。
People say, "Well, I didn't kill anything."
有的人他说我并没有杀动物。
You don't have to. If you eat it, that you share in the sin.
那如果你吃了的话，吃了动物的肉，实际上你也是有罪的。
Even if you cook it, you share in the sin.
那即便是你去烹调了，也是有罪的。
So mercy is destroyed where there's killing of animal or eating meat, fish or eggs.
所以呢，当这个吃这个鱼肉蛋，或者说去屠杀动物、屠杀生灵，或者是烹调的时候，实际上。就会破坏仁慈的原则。
Then another principle is another leg is austerity.
另外一条腿呢，它就是苦行。
Austerity is destroyed where people take intoxication.
当一个人他去服用麻醉品的时候，他就失去了自制，也就是说失去了苦行。
Intoxication is not only things which are illegal, but also many intoxicants are legal these days.
那么很多的麻醉品呢，它不仅仅是说是非法的，合法的麻醉品也到处都可以见到。
Things like cigarettes and alcohol are also intoxicants, they're legal.
就好像烟和酒一样，实际上也具有麻醉的作用，但是呢，却是合法的。
But they destroy the ability to develop.Higher consciousness.
那这些麻醉品实际上就是阻止了我们培养一种更高的知觉意识。
If you're trying to control your mind and you take alcohol, you're not going to be very successful.
当你想要控制你自己的心意，但是你却不忌酒的话，还去服用这些麻醉品，那是不可能得到成功的。
And then finally, the principle of truthfulness.
那么最后一条呢，就是说，真诚的这个原则。
Truthfulness is destroyed by gambling and different false propagandas.
那么这个原则呢，就是通过赌博或者说一些虚假的宣传而被破坏的。
So, in practicing yoga, these four pillars are these four principles are very important.
那么所以呢，如果一个人要修习瑜伽的话，这四个支柱 也就是这四个原则是至关重要的。
We'll say them again: cleanliness, mercy,
仁慈,
austerity,
苦行,
and truthfulness,
真诚。
And if you combine these with mantra meditation, then you will make great, very quickly you can make great spiritual progress.
如果你能够把这四个原则和唱诵曼陀罗结合在一起，那么你就可以获得非常大的进步。
Of course, there are many other yoga teachers. They are also teaching things. They will, sometimes they'll say, "Oh, you can do whatever you like."
但是有的瑜伽老师他会跟你说，你可以随心所欲，想做什么就做什么。
You should understand that is all bogus. It's all false teachings.
你要知道这些老师他就是虚假的。
But these four principles are all confirmed in Vedic writings and all the yoga teachings.
那么在这个伟达的典籍当中以及瑜伽的教义当中都提到了这四个原则。
And all the yoga teachers, they follow these principles.
所有的真正的瑜伽老师都会遵循这样的四个原则。
The problem is in this age, you've got a lot of people who claim to be yoga teachers who don't follow.
问题就是说在这个年代里面有很多自称是瑜伽老师的人他们根本就不遵循这四个原则
Because people want to be cheated
因为人们他喜欢上当受骗
Yeah, they want to hear that No, it's okay, you can eat whatever you like
他们喜欢听到别人对他说你什么都可以吃
You can do whatever you like
你想做什么就做什么
They will say, just pay me the money
他们只要给他钱就行了
I'll give you a mantra. You can become God.
我可以给你一首曼陀罗，你就可以成神，就可以变成神。
But we are teaching Bhagavad Gita. We are teaching the yoga as it was originally taught.
但是呢，我们是以这个瑜伽的最原本的面目来教导的。
It may sound difficult in the beginning.
开始的时候听起来有一些困难。
Music.No meat, no fish,
不吃肉不吃鱼
no eggs,
不吃鸡蛋
no intoxication,
不用任何麻醉
no gambling,
不赌博
no illicit sex,
没有非法的性生活
what am I supposed to do?
那我该怎么办呢
we're supposed to give up all, stop all the nonsense,
我们应当要停止这些胡作非为的生活
take up the real life, the proper activity.
我们应当做正确的活动，开始一种真正的生活。
And that begins with the chanting of the Maha Mantra.
而这样的生活是从唱诵曼陀罗开始的。
When you start to chant the Maha Mantra, you will feel the change in your life.
当你开始念诵这首曼陀罗的时候，你就会感到你的生活发生了变化。
Just like when you're sick and you take a medicine, you take the proper medicine, follow the proper diet.You feel yourself start to get healthy.
那么当你就好像你生病的时候，你开始吃药，然后呢，你很好的控制了饮食，你就会感觉到逐渐的恢复了健康。
This is the price you have to pay.
这是你们必须付出的代价。
我们说一分钱一分货。Right? You get what you pay.
你付多少钱你就可以得到多少东西
Where, it may be asking a lot but you're getting the highest thing
可能你需要付出的很多但是你所获得的是最崇高的东西
Of course, if you want to be cheated that's okay
那如果你想上当受骗的话也没问题
So we will ask if there are any questions
我想问大家有没有问题呢
大家如果有什么问题，可以踊跃的问出来，没有关系，我们还有时间。
老师，你能 control your mind?
Can I control my mind? How can you control your mind?
如何才能控制一个人的心意？
We have to control the mind by this is the purpose of the mantra, chanting the mantra. This will help us. This will give us mental strength to control the mind.
那么这种这首曼陀罗实际上它就是。给予我们这种精神上的这种力量可以帮助我们控制我们的感官
At the same time I gave the example about the chariot intelligence is higher than the mind
那么同时呢就像我刚才所举的那个马车的例子一样 一个人的智慧它是超越于心意的。
So if you have strong intelligence, you can control the mind.
所以你的智慧如果是非常强大的话，你就可以很好的控制你的思想或者说心意。
Two ways to get intelligence.
一个人要获得智慧有两种方式。
One by chanting.
一种是通过唱诵。
The other by hearing.
另外一种是通过聆听。
That means that includes also reading Bhagavad Gita or hearing people speak on this subject.
那么这个聆听呢，就包括像阅读《博家梵歌》这样的活动，以及去聆听别人去讲述有关这个主题的内容。
Then you can control your mind.
这样呢，你就可以控制你的心意了。
It just simply takes a little practice.
但是只需要练习，需要不断的修习。
You have to hear.
你必须要聆听。
Begins by hearing.
它是从聆听开始的。
Our mind is sometimes compared to a wild animal.
那么我们的心意呢，有的时候就像是一头野兽一样。
You know, how do they train a wild animal?
你知道如何去驯服一头野兽？
You know, if they catch a wild lion, or they want to train it to make put it as some performer in the ring.
那么就好像说他们抓住了一头那个狮子，野狮子，然后。把它去就驯服它，然后让它做表演。
So,
你知道他们怎么做
？When they catch the lion, they put it in a cage. They'll keep it in the cage, not feed it.
那么，当他们把这头野生的狮子抓住之后，就把它投到一个笼子里，不给它东西吃。
Keep it there for many days.
好多天都不给它东西吃。
The lion is very miserable.
这个狮子非常的痛苦不堪。
And then the man comes with a whip and he beats it.
就拿了一把鞭子，然后就打他。
Then after he beats the lion, then he feeds.
然后先是用这个鞭子去鞭打他，然后才给他东西吃。
Then the lion knows this man is very important.
那这个狮子就知道这个人是非常重要。
This man put me in this cage, kept me here for many days, did not feed me.
那这个人他把我抓起来，然后投到了这个笼子里面去，然后一连几天都不给我任何东西吃。
And then he beat me.
然后他又打我。
Now he's feeding me.
现在他给我东西吃了。
I have to do what he says.
我必须要按照他告诉我的去做。
Right? So we have to beat the mind.
所以呢，我们也是要这样去鞭打我们的心意。
First, maybe you have to starve the mind, and then you beat it.
首先呢，你先饿它一下，然后呢，你就开始鞭打它。
And then feed it.
然后给它东西吃。
Make the mind obedient.
让你的心意变得驯服。
Don't give the mind power.
不要给这个心意力量。
Don't start taking direction from the mind.
不要去听从你的心意给你的指挥。
The mind can be a great obstacle in our path.
心意可能会成为我们前进路途上最大的障碍。
So first thing you have to do every morning, take some shoes and beat the mind.
所以呢，你一天第一件要做的事情就是早起，拿着你的鞋子。好好地打一下你的心意。
Then last thing at night, again take a stick and beat your mind.
到了晚上的时候，你拿起你的棍子，再打一打你的心意。
Because our mind will be telling us many things.
因为我们的心意，它会给我们随便发号施令。
The mind will say, "Oh, don't go to work today."
它会对你说，今天别工作了。
No, you just sleep. You worked so hard yesterday.
哎呀，你昨天你工作的那么辛苦，今天你就睡吧。什么都别干了。
The mind will say, "Oh, don't chant Hare Krishna."
心意都会对你说，别去念诵 Hare Krishna。
You don't need to chant this mantra.
你不需要去唱诵这首曼陀罗。
You know everything already.
你什么都知道了。
The mind will tell us many things.
所以呢，心意它会对我们说各种各样的话。
We have to neglect the mind.
所以呢，我们必须要忽视我们的心意。
We have to listen to intelligence.
我们需要去聆听我们的智性。
And that intelligence is guided by authority.
而我们的智慧是由权威来指导的。
From yoga books, like
从瑜伽的书籍典籍，比如像《薄伽梵歌》。
Then you can control the mind.
这样你就可以控制你的心意了。
Takes a little practice.
但是需要休息，需要一些练习的。
Another question?
还有其他的问题吗？
Yes.False ego, intelligence and
false ego, true ego, 假我真我和、
啊、真我假我真我
自我 or self
self 自我 self. Well, false ego is where we think I am the body.
假我呢就意味着说我认为我是这个躯体。
And then we think when I'm this body, these things are mine. This is mine.
然后你就觉得我是这个躯体，所以这些东西都是属于我的。
This is my country, my family.
这是我的家庭，我的国家等等。
These things all belong to me.
所有的一切都是属于我的。
They're for my enjoyment.
而且呢，都是用来让我享受的。
And I'm controlling them.
啊，认为我就是控制者。
So this is the false ego.
这就是假我。
And the true ego is to understand I'm not the body, I'm a soul.
那么真我就意味着我知道我不是这个躯体，是灵魂。
And my soul is meant to be the servant of the supreme soul.
而我这位灵魂呢，就应当原本就应当去服务超灵。
That my position is to be subordinate.
我的地位是从属于他的。
I'm not the master, I'm the servant.
我不是主人，我是仆人。
And the other, the self, the self is that this the individual soul.
自我呢就是个体灵魂。
So the true self is the soul.
所以呢，真我就是灵魂。
So that we have to purify this consciousness, overcome the false ego to bring to pure ego.
所以呢，我们就要净化我们的知觉。要把这个假我变成真我。
By changing that consciousness from being the master to being the servant.
要通过改变我们的意识，不要认为自己是主人，而是仆人，从主人到仆人的这种转化。
Yeah. You want to become the servant. To be the servant in spiritual consciousness is the greatest pleasure.
那么在一种灵性的知觉当中去做一个仆人实际上是最大的快乐。
We think in the material world to be servant, this is not nice. I want to be the master.
我们认为在这个物质世界里面做一个仆人是非常痛苦的，每个人都想做主人。
We think I've been the servant for so long, I want to become the master.
你会认为我已经做仆人做了这么长久了，我现在要好好的做一回主人了。
And in this way we try to compete with each other. We want to get above them, to be over them.
所以呢，我们就开始互相的竞争，互相的争斗。
And this way there's always competition.
然后呢，就会有各种各样的竞争发生。
And it results in so much pain and trouble.
那么这样的一种竞争呢，最后结果就是各种各样的烦恼。
But when we put ourselves in pure consciousness of being the servant, then we will find greatest pleasure.
但是呢，当我们把自己置于一种非常净化的知觉中的时候，去做一个真正的仆人的时候，我们就可以获得最大的快乐。
If we know ourselves as being the soul, our soul is a very tiny particle.
如果我们知道我们是灵魂的话，我们就知道灵魂它是一个小小的微粒。
It is 1/100 of 1/100 of the tip of the hair.
它是头发的万分之一。
And that soul,
发尖的万分之一。
That soul is a part of the supreme soul.
而这个灵魂它又是超灵的一个部分。
So yoga is to connect the soul with the supreme soul.
所以瑜伽就是要把这个个体的灵魂和超灵连接到一起。
When that connection is there, then we will find pleasure in that connection.
当我们有了这种连接的时候，我们就会获得快乐。
There will be a reciprocation, the opulences of the supreme. will be imparted to the individual.
那么这个至尊的他的这个富裕就会传递到个体的灵魂，我们就可以享受到这样的一种富裕。
In the spiritual world, the greatest pleasure is to be the servant.
那么在灵性世界最大的快乐就是做一个仆人。
So that is the pure ego.
这就是纯粹的自我。
You develop that pure ego by simply by engaging in devotional service.
你可以通过奉献性的服务，去获得这个净化的纯粹的自我。
It begins with hearing and chanting.
是从聆听和唱诵开始的。
What is the other question? Another question?
我想叫那个老师把这个 Hare 跟那个 Krishna 这些字面意思。
Is there any demand for your mind or the mentality or the body while chanting the Mahamantra?
Okay.
Requirement.
Requirement for the
body.
Mind. Okay. Well.Hare, we simply met, we said this word Hare, this refers to the spiritual energy.
Hare 的意思就是灵性的能量。
Krishna means the all attractive person.
那么 Krishna 的意思就是最具有吸引力的人。
He's the supreme person.
他是至尊者。
And he has his energy.
他有能量。
And the personification of that energy is expressed in the word Hare.
那么这个能量的人格性的表达就是通过这个 Hare 这个字来展示的。
And Rama is the meaning of this word Rama is simply the reservoir of all pleasure.
那么 Rama 的意思它是整个快乐的源泉，快乐的蓄积地。
It also can be personal. It could mean Krishna's brother Balarama.
那么 Rama 的意思也有可能是 Krishna 的哥哥 Balarama 的意思。
It could also be referring to Lord Rama who appeared in another yuga.
它也可以指 Rama.
And it can also refer to Krishna himself who is the reservoir of all pleasure.
另外呢还可以指的是 Krishna, 他是快乐的源泉。
So, You asked the second question was about is there any special
requirement
for the
body,
for the body and
mind while chanting?
Chanting is not something which we have to do with the mind. We have to do it with the tongue and with the ear.
那么唱诵它不是用你的这个心意去做的，而是用你的这个舌头和你的耳朵。
You have to hear and chant.
换句话说，你必须要聆听和唱诵。
So it has no, there's no special requirement of the body. Can be done by any person.
所以呢，对这个躯体是没有什么要求的，任何一个人都可以这样去做。
There are some principles to be followed in the chanting.
但是呢，在唱诵的过程当中，确实有一些原则是需要遵循的。
It should be done with proper attention.
也就是说，要有聚精会神。
You want to do it with full concentration.
你需要专心致志，全神贯注地去聆听唱诵。
That when you chant, you want to focus your attention on the sound vibration of the mantra.
当你唱诵的时候，你要集中把注意力集中在这个音振的变化上。
And you can chant any time and any place.
你可以在任何地方、任何时刻都可以去唱诵。
Now some mantras can only be chanted at certain times and in certain places.
那有的曼陀罗它是对于这个时间和地点有一定的要求，必须在特定的时间和地点来唱诵。
Just like there's a mantra called Gayatri Mantra, which is chanted by Brahmanas.
就比如说有一个叫 Gayatri Mantra。它是婆罗门才能够唱诵的。
Unless one is in the mode of goodness, then he cannot chant. They cannot chant this mantra.
除非一个人他是完全的处在善良的形态之中，否则的话是 不能去唱诵这首曼陀罗。
And this mantra Gayatri is only chanted at certain times of the day.
而且呢，这首曼陀罗它也是在一天的某一个特定的时刻来唱诵的。
There are different conditions for different mantras.
那不同的曼陀罗它有不同的条件要求。
But in chanting Hare Krishna, there are none of these rules.
但是呢，当你去唱诵 Hare Krishna 的时候。却没有这些硬性的规定。
Even one may not be a vegetarian, they can still chant.
即便一个人还没有成为素食者，他也可以去唱诵。
Even one may not be following principles in any way, but they can still chant.
即便一个人还没有去遵循一些规范的原则，那么他也一样可以唱诵。
So this is why it's called Maha Mantra.
这就是为什么这被称为 Maha Mantra， 伟大的曼陀罗。
Because it's very merciful and it gives opportunity to everyone in every walk of life.
因为这是非常的仁慈的，它是没有任何时间的这个要求，而且它可以让任何一个人都有机会去唱诵。
Whether they're purified or unpurified.
无论他是净化了还是没有净化，他都有资格去唱诵。
There are two ways to chant. One is where we were chanting kirtan, and the other is when you chant japa using beads.
唱诵呢有两种方式，一种呢被称为 kirtan， 也就是说是一起去齐诵，大家一起唱诵；另外一种呢是自己单独独自的，这被称为 japa， 自己在念珠上念诵。
Yeah, individually we chant on the beads.
那当我们一个人独处的时候，我们是在珠子上念珠上念诵。
And as a group, we chant kirtan together.
啊，当我们齐聚一堂的时候，我们就可以一起来唱诵。
In practicing bhakti yoga, we do this chanting on the beads. It's a requirement that we will chant. You know, we'll make an arrangement to chant about 2 hours a day simply on the beads.
那如果说我们要去修习奉爱瑜伽的话，我们是每一天会花2个小时左右的时间在珠子上面、念珠上面念诵。
And kirtan is something because we have to have a group of people come together. We don't have that opportunity all the time.
那么 kirtan 呢，它就意味着一齐诵圣名，它是必须要有大家在一起的。所以呢，并不是所有的时候都有这样的机会。
But japa we can always do.
但是呢，这个 japa 就是独自的念诵，是随时随地都可以进行的。
I encourage all of you get some beads yourself and start to try this.
我鼓励你们大家都能够获得这样的一个念珠，然后尝试着去念诵。
You'll find very powerful.
你会发现这种独自的念诵是非常具有力量的。
We need to cultivate these kind of habits.
我们必须要去培养这样的习惯。
You will feel great benefit, great mental relief.
你会获益很多，你会受益很大，然后你会在你的思想上、精神上都可以获得一种非常释放、解脱的感觉。
It's a very powerful way of just relaxing the mind and clearing the consciousness.
这是一种让你的心意变得非常的平静。并且呢，让你的知觉获得净化的一种非常具有力量的方式。
But just like a medicine, if you take it one day, you don't take it the next day, the medicine's not going to be able to work.
但是就像是药一样，如果你今天吃了药，明天又不吃，那么肯定就没有这个药力效力了。
You have to do it regularly.
你必须要有规律的去做这件事情。
Then you can start to see the effect.
然后呢，你就可以看到它的效果了。
Another question?
还有其他的问题吗？
刚才老师讲到，就是每个人都是有两个灵魂的，一个自我的，一个超我的。作为普通人，我们能不能通过修行瑜伽或者其他手段，感觉到那个超我的灵魂的存在？如果能，通过什么途径可以感觉到
Yeah, you can experience it, the dictation of that super soul.
你可以听到你的这个超灵，他对你的这种指令。
I think we've all had some experience of this in our own life.
我想呢，我们每个人或多或少在生活当中都曾经有过这样的体验。
Sometimes you may be about to do something, and you know, maybe from the something from the heart, from within you is saying, you know, this is not right, you shouldn't do this.
有的时候我们可能想做某一件事情，然后你就听到心中有一种声音在告诉你说，不，这件事情不行，你不能去做，这是不好的。
And other times, you know, it comes people writing music, writing some musical composition, and they reached a certain point where they couldn't think how to make the music progress.
那么还有一些人，他作曲家，他在写曲子的时候，到一定的时候，他突然觉得写不下去了，他僵住在那个地方。
And then they go for a walk, and they're not even thinking about what they're trying about that music. Then suddenly, it just comes in the mind what they have to do.
然后呢，他们就离开了一会儿，然后散步，然后突然间就灵感勃发，发现了如何再继续这个曲子。
Sometimes scientists also are trying to do some research, and they're stuck at some point. They can't get any further.
有的时候呢，这个科学家他在搞这个研究的时候，也会陷入一种困境，发现自己无法继续下去。
And then somehow suddenly, just somewhere, without even thinking about it, it comes from within them. They get some inspiration.
然后突然之间，他们不知不觉就不知道从哪儿获得了一种灵感。
So this is from the super soul.
这就是从超灵来的。
The super soul is giving in Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter.
在博迦梵歌的第十五章当中。
It's mentioned there that the super soul gives us knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness.
就说这个我们的记忆、遗忘都是来自于超灵。
If we want to remember certain things, the super soul can help us.
如果我们想记住某一些事情的话，超灵是可以帮助我们的。
And at the same time, we want to forget things. The super soul is also there, allows us.
如果我们要遗忘某一件事物的话，超灵也会允许我们去遗忘。
Sometimes we feel, you know, we can feel that something within us is saying, you know, oh, this is not right. I shouldn't really do this.
有的时候，我们内心当中会。知道就是做某一件事情是不应该的，不好。
And other times, something within us is saying, "This is what you have to do."
有的时候，我们心里面又会有一种声音告诉我们说，这就是你应该去做的事情。
This is actually coming from this guidance is coming from the super.
实际上，这种指导就是来自于超灵。
We are the individual soul.
我们是个体灵魂。
But we get direction from the super.
但是呢，超灵却给予我们指导，给予我们方向。
Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the chariot driver of Arjuna.
就好像在博迦梵歌当中 ，Krishna 他是 Arjuna 的马车夫。
We have to let Krishna drive our chariot.
我们应当要让 Krishna 来驾驶我们的马车。
He's there in the heart as a super soul.
他就是超灵，他在我们的心中。
But we have to give him the opportunity to act.
但是呢，我们必须要给他这个行动的机会。
This is Bhakti Yoga.
这就是 Bhakti Yoga, 奉爱瑜伽。
You will feel the super soul. The super soul helps you to make spiritual progress when you want.
你可以感觉到超灵的存在，当你有这种愿望的时候，超灵可以帮助你在灵性上得到进步。
And the super soul also comes externally in the form of the spiritual teacher.
而超灵呢，从外在来说，它还会以灵性导师的身份出现在我们的眼前。
The spiritual teachers, they act, they speak what is the same instructions, the same directions which come from the super soul.
那么灵性老师呢，他会传递给和超灵所给你的指令相同的指导和训谕。
Yoga is, we want to connect with that super soul.
瑜伽就意味着和超灵建立连接。
We want to make the super soul comfortable and happy in our heart.
我们希望我们的超灵在我们的心中感到非常的舒服，非常的快乐。
We do this by practice of Bhakti Yoga.
我们可以通过修习 Bhakti Yoga, 奉爱瑜伽而获得。
When you start to chant also, you will feel the how your heart becomes pleased.
那么当你去唱诵的时候，你就可以感觉到你的内心变得越来越愉悦。
This is the pleasure, the super soul is becoming pleased, becoming happy, because we are connecting with him.
那超灵就会感觉到这种快乐，因为我们和他之间发生了这种连接。
But we've been neglecting him for many lives.
但是呢，我们生生世世忽略他太久了。
The yogis meditate on the super soul, the Lord in the heart.
那么瑜伽师他是冥想超灵，也就是内心中的主。
Now some people meditate on the super soul and they think they are the super soul.
有的人他会冥想超灵，然后认为自己也变成了超灵。
This is a mistake which many. This is a trap which many people fall into.
这是一个陷阱，很多人都掉到了里边。
They think.I am the super soul.
他们认为我就是超灵。
But we're not the super soul.
但是呢，我们却不是超灵。
We're the individual soul.
我们是个体灵魂。
We have a relationship with the super soul.
我们和这位超灵有之间有一种关系。
If we are all the super soul, then we are all the same.
如果我们都是超灵，那么我们之间就没有任何分别了。
I am you, and you are me, and we are all one.
我是你，你是我，我们都是同一的。
And then there's no question of any relationship.
那这就谈不上有什么关系了。
Everybody's one, everybody's the same.
因为大家都是一样的，都是同一的。
But everyone is not one, everyone is an individual.
但是呢，每一个个体，它都是一个个体，它并不是统一的，都不是同一，都是不是一。
We have relationships.
我们彼此之间是有一种关系的。
We have to understand the relationship between the individual soul and the super soul.
我们应当要去理解个体灵魂和超灵之间的关系。
Remember two birds in the tree.
你还记得这棵树上的两只鸟吗？
One bird is eating the fruit.
一只鸟它在品尝果实。
And the other bird is a witness waiting.
另外一只鸟，它却是见证者，在等待着它。
For us to turn.
等待着另外一只鸟转向它。
We know the pains and pleasures in our own body.
我们可以知觉到我们这个躯体，随着我们躯体而来的苦与乐。
If we are the super soul, then we would know the pains and pleasures in everyone's body.
如果我们是超灵的话，我们就可以了解其他任何人的快乐和痛苦了。
But we don't know.
但是我们对别人却一无所知。
Another question?
还有其他的问题吗？
Yeah. 那老师，您分享一下您学瑜伽的经历，然后就是您觉得瑜伽到底是什么？最重要的东西是什么？
What's the most important part of yoga? And would you like to share with us some experiences in your yoga practicing?
The most important part of yoga is this hearing and chanting.
瑜伽当中最重要的部分就是聆听和唱诵。
This is, you have to do this regularly.
你们应当有规律的去这样去做。
You have to have association.
你们需要有这样的一种连接，一种联谊。
We reflect the qualities of the people we associate with.
我们呢就是相当于近朱者赤近墨者黑，我们会反映和我们有关系的朋友的品质。
If we associate with people who are clean and careful in their habits, we will also develop this nature.
如果呢和我们打交道的朋友也是非常洁净的，而且呢非常小心谨慎的，同样我们也会具备他们的这些品质。
So she, the young lady asked me something about my own experiences. I think this this association is the most important.
那么关于我从我的经验来说的话，就是这样的一种，我们叫这种交道，这种联系是非常是最重要的这种联谊。
When I first met people practicing Bhakti Yoga, before that I was just an ordinary materialistic person.
那当我遇到这个修习奉爱瑜伽的人之前，我只是一个非常平凡的一个很物质的一个人。
I wasn't a vegetarian.
而且当时我也不是一个素食者。
I didn't have any spiritual practice.
而且我也没有任何灵修。
Although I had read a lot of books.
当然，虽然我读了很多的书。
But I hadn't taken up any spiritual practice.
但是呢，我没有从事任何的灵修。
But then I met these people who were chanting Hare Krishna.
然后我就遇到了一些在唱诵 Hare Krishna 的人。
And I went to one of their lectures on the Bhagavad Gita.
然后呢，我就去聆听了一堂国家梵歌的讲课。
Now, as a student, when I was at university, I used to always like to go to lectures. I like to hear people talk.
那么当我在大学里面的时候，我特别喜欢去听各种各样的演讲。
Go and hear different people. Hear, you know, listen to what they had to say about the world and about their life.
我非常喜欢去聆听各种各样的人讲有关这个世界和生活的这些话题。
But when I met the devotees and heard them speak about Bhagavad Gita, it had the deepest impression on me.
但是呢，当我遇到了这些奉献者，当他们去讲述国家梵歌的知识的时候，却给我留下了最深刻、最强烈的印象。
Of course, that I was 21 years old when I first met the devotees.
当我最早的时候遇到奉献者的时候，我才21岁。
And the people who were giving the lectures were teenagers.
而那些讲课的人呢，才十几岁。
But they were very convinced about everything they were saying.
但是呢，他们对于他们所获得的知识是没有任何怀疑，非常坚信不疑的。
And they didn't just speak things and do different things. They live by what they taught.
那么呢，他们并不是说一套做一套，他们确实是身体力行了。
So I thought their teaching was the most valuable.
所以呢，我就想他们的这个教导呢，一定是最有价值的。
You know, and the material. I remember at school, the teachers would say, "Oh, don't smoke; it's very bad." But we knew all the teachers smoked.
我们知道在学校里，老师会说你们不要抽烟，但是我们知道所有的老师都是抽烟的。
But here were people speaking, and they were not just simply saying one thing and doing; they were doing what they taught.
那么，但是呢，这些人他却是言行如一的。
So I'm also telling you, you know, everything I told you tonight, I also do myself.
所以呢，我也告诉你们，今天我告诉你们的一切，我自己也是身体力行的。
And it is certainly helped me to improve my life.
毫无疑问，这也会在我的生命当中给予了我最大的帮助。
And if you also try to do any one, even a part of the things I told you, it will be a great benefit for you.
那如果你能够按照我刚今天所告诉你们这一切，从里面选择一二来进行实践的话，我相信一定会给你们带来非常大的收益。
So association is the most important.
所以呢，这种联谊，这种关系是非常非常重要的。
Because in association of people who are yogis and practicing this devotional path, you will have the opportunity to also advance.
当你和这些在同样的在修习这种瑜伽方式的人，跟他们在一起的时候，跟他们打交道之后，你也一样可以开始这样的一种修习，你就会获得很大的益处。
So we will finish by chanting for a little while.
那我们最后呢，我们稍微唱诵一会儿。
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. 因为Guru Dev今天晚上要车要走，所以大概是九点的火车，所以Guru Dev还没有吃饭，所以呢，我们今天就到此，然后等一下我们还有冯老师的课，感谢大家的到来。